بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، brothers and sisters, every time we attend a janaza, every time we go to condole with somebody, I remind myself anew that this is not about that person, it is about ourselves. The janaza of the individual who died, that is the fard kifaya which has been fulfilled or is being fulfilled, and you are one of them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards those who take part in the salatul janaza of their brothers and sisters. But the real reason to go there is to remind ourselves that one day that janaza will be me. And to remember that while we live the rest of our lives. What happens in a janaza? From the minute a person dies, what becomes completely clear is that that person, one single thing has changed in their identity, and that is that they no longer have a choice. Until the time they died, until the last minute, they have choices. They can do things, they can influence. As a matter of fact, if you are surrounded by, depending of course on who is around you, but if you are surrounded by the right people, then the last moments can be very powerful, can be very influential. Your wasiyat, when you tell people do this, do that, they will carry it out. Maybe they didn't want to carry out your wishes while you lived. It's quite a paradoxical thing if you ask me, but anyway, that's how it seems to work. But the last wish of the individual, when the person is going to die and he would not be able to see that last wish being fulfilled, people become very careful about fulfilling that last wish. But once you are dead, the first thing that you observe, if you are, imagine yourself as a fly on the wall, watching what's happening. The first thing you will observe is that the individual concerned has lost all choice. From that moment onwards, whatever is going to happen will happen according to whatever others want to do to that person. If that person is surrounded by his family who are good Muslims, who remember Islam, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they remember the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they remember the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they will hasten to perform the ghusl of the person. They will hasten to bathe the body, they will hasten to put on the kafan, and they will hasten to do the salatul janaza of the individual and to place him or her in their grave, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not delay in the performance of the last rites of the individual who has died. If on the other hand that is not the case, or if there are some other imperatives, then you might see that the salatul janaza is delayed, the body is put away somewhere in a freezer, and then the whole janaza and so on may be done several days later. You see this quite often with heads of state and so on and so forth, because the funeral is not simply a matter of burying the body. There is politics involved, there is show business involved and so on. So the body is kept, and then once all the invitees have been invited to come for the funeral, and when they all come, and then only the funeral is done. In the case of the King of England, the Monarch of England, the King or Queen of England, somebody sent me a clipping the other day of what will happen when Queen Elizabeth dies. And I, to my surprise, well, not so much surprise, but, you know, some surprise, I found that she will actually be buried on the 10th or 11th day after she dies. Until then, her body will be kept, in a freezer. It will be lying in state and whatnot. And they're waiting for all those people that they've invited. And believe me, I don't know how many of those invited are people who are pious. Allah knows best. Anyway, the long and short of it is that what we observe is that choice is suspended, choice is finished. The person who died loses, the first thing they lose is their name. Henceforth, they will be referred to as the body. Move the body here, move the body there, bathe the body, put kafan on the body, do salatul janaza on the body, put the body in the grave. They will not say, move yavar here, move yavar there, do yavar begs, ghusl. They will say, move the body. So the first thing we lose is our identity. That thing, that symbol of our being, which announced to the world who this person was, is the first thing that we will go. That will go. Then, as I mentioned, people will do with us whatever they want. And we have no say in the matter. We will not be consulted. If they consulted us, we would not be able to say anything. So people, somebody will bathe. I have bathed people who have died. And I know what it feels like. The person is just lying there and somebody moves an arm, and if the person moves an arm 1 inch, the arm is there now 1 inch away from the body, and that's it. In Islam, we are reminded to treat the body with respect, with dignity. We are told not to uncover the body completely and to ensure that the private parts are always covered. We are taught to treat the body as if the person is still alive. Bathing, we are told to use warm water and water which is perfumed with certain herbs. But if somebody didn't do any of that, the person who died would not be able to say anything. They would not be able to object, they would not be able to say yes, no. And if the person is doing all that, they would not be able to appreciate it. They're just there. No choice. You move the hand is, and place it somewhere, it stays there. You move the leg and place it somewhere, it stays there. You cross the legs, they stay crossed. You uncross them, they're uncrossed. You turn the head to the right, it's to the right. Turn the head to the left, it's left. And so on. Complete suspension of choice. And who chooses? The one in whose hands the body is. Now, it is highly recommended that all of us learn how to bathe the body so that this is the last service that we can do for our parents, our friends, whoever dies before us. And this is a service that we should try to do, especially for those who are dear to us, because they spent their whole life, and especially I'm talking about parents and spouses and children, but also may apply to friends and so on, who spent their whole life trying to do good to you. They helped you, they worked for you. In the cases of families, the father or the mother, they spent their whole life, they would have earned for the family, they would have stayed awake in the night while you were sick. They would have put themselves to all sorts of inconvenience so that your life would be settled and your life would be good. So the least that you can do is their last rites, is to ensure that you are the one who takes care of your father, mother, whoever dies, your spouse. I deliberately don't say children because I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never to have to allow children to be buried by their parents. It's one of the most saddest and tragic things. But if it happens, it happens. So it is very important that you do it yourself with your own hands, so that you are the only one who can do it with love, who can do it with respect and with dignity and with kindness, because you have a connection, an emotional connection with them. But in many places, Muslims don't take the trouble to learn this. So they have to call, in my country, they call them a ghassal, the one who gives the ghusl. And this is a professional person. He is like a funeral, a funeral parlor owner or person there who works there, who comes and does the ghusl. Of course, he has no connection whatsoever with the person who died. He doesn't even know who that person is. So for him, it's a body. They try to do their best, and then, you know, they're good people also in that, who will treat that body with dignity. But if they don't, they don't. So here is the body. I want you to be the fly on the wall and watch this thing. And that here is this body which has no will of its own. It has no choice. And it's in the hands of the ghassal. It is in the hands of the one bathing it. And it moves as he moves it. It stays stationary as he leaves it. If he turns it, it turns. The body turns back. The body has no will of its own. As I mentioned at the beginning of this, the janaza is for us to take lessons from it. And the lesson I remind myself and you to take from this picture, which I try to draw before you, is that this janaza is a reminder of how we need to be in our life while we are living. And that is, be a dead body in the hand of the ghassal. And in this case, the ghassal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. So if you are a dead body in the hand of the ghassal, what does the ghassal do? What does the one who is bathing the body, what is he trying to do? He's trying to purify it. And if you are, the body of course has no choice in the matter, but if as living people, if we have this choice and we say that I have no will of my own, my will is the will of my Rabb Jalla Jalalu. Allah turns me, I turn. Allah turns me back, I turn back. Allah lifts my hand, my hand lifts. Allah puts it back, my hand is put back where it was. Allah tells me to worship, I worship. Allah tells me to fast, I fast. Allah tells me to give zakat, I give zakat. Allah tells me to go for hajj, I go for hajj. Allah tells me to live in a certain way, I live in that way. Allah tells me to die in a particular way at a particular time and I am dead. My brothers and sisters, Allah, if we are the bodies in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then believe me, that is the secret of life, which is that we will then be purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as the body is purified by the ghassal, by the one who is bathing it. So if we become like dead bodies in the hands of the ghassal, which is suspend our will, a day will come when our will will be suspended, whether we like it or not. The key is to do that before that day comes. To suspend our will, to bring our will one with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, who created us, who sustained us, who nurtured us, who nourished us, and to whom is our return. And if we do that, our life, inshallah, will be successful. And if we don't do that, and if we thrash around and we go against whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, then the result is something else. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to take lessons from whatever happens to us, and especially in things like this, and take lessons from, especially as I said, jana is to take lessons from that and to live our lives in a way which is completely and totally obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.